The phrase Cinderella story is used to describe a meteoric rise from humble beginnings to fame and fortune. The Alliance Theater is putting a new kind of Cinderella story on stage, one that subverts its fairy tale origins for today's children. Cinderella and Fella is billed as being more high tops than Glass Slipper, and is fueled by a different kind of magic. We sat down with the playwright and songwriter, Janice Schaefer, and the show's stepmother and genuine Broadway diva, Terry Burrell, to talk about this show. It is always so much fun to talk with Janice Schaefer and Terry Burrell.
Same here.
Double header. First, tell us, what age group did you have in mind with this production?
This is for kindergarten through fifth grade, but it was really important to me that this be a show that families could come to, that parents would be happy to sit through, that they would find a lot of joy and meaning, as well as their children. So I think it's a story with arms wide open.
Ah, kids of all ages.
Right.
Now, the play is billed as a contemporary musical spin on the Cinderella fairy tale. Where does one begin to list the reasons for updating the Cinderella story?
Well, I can tell you, when Rosemary Newcott, the most lovely, generous, collaborative Rosemary Newcott, came to me and said, "What would you think about a Cinderella?" I had really strong ideas. It was important to me that the prize was not a boy. It was important to me that the step family not be a bunch of mean women. So we have a stepbrother and a stepsister. It was growing up, I always felt like magic eluded me in the terms of what I saw on stage. I didn't have a fairy godmother. I didn't have a Indian in the cupboard or a Free Willy. And I was like, where's my magic? And I wanted to create a story where the magic would be accessible to everybody. And the magic is everything you would find in your own backyard. It's stink bugs and the smell of magnolias and moon blossoms that open at night. And the wonder that happens on the summer solstice when all the fireflies synchronize. It's also the equivalent of a fairy godmother, because if you take all of those magical elements and weave them together, you create a dress and you create friends and you find healing and you find quiet and you find magic and mud and lightning bugs and bird calls. And so there's just so much wonder there that you don't need anybody else to bring it to you. You can find it for yourself.
Tell us about the fella.
We have a really cute fella. You want to jump in?
We do, Jeremiah. actually, the part about going outside is that the Prince Maurice, has never been allowed to be outside of the walls of the palace until he meets Cinderella. He makes an attempt, a weak attempt at one point in the piece, and then he decides, no, Mom knows best. It's too scary out there. But he meets Cinderella, who's always been in the forest, who really understands nature. And he has a friend to seek adventure with. And she gives him the courage to do that.
The show is described as more high tops than Glass Slipper. What does that mean?
Well, I think there's a lot of, in terms of costuming, in terms of look, there's a lot of cultural references, a lot of really hip references in terms of what they're wearing, the language that they use. And it was important. We used to have a prologue, we don't anymore, where we're like, this is not, if you're looking for a pumpkin, if you're looking for glass slippers and a magic wand, ours is different. It's going to have all of the magic and all of the heart, but it comes at it with a really strong, independent girl as our main character. Who is incredibly capable, and her role has been caring for this family, and she pulls them around in a tiny house. You know, these characters in great big costumes smashed in a tiny house, and there's young Cinderella pulling them through five kingdoms with, you know, she's a strong, independent girl, and so she never gets to go inside the tiny house, and he never gets to go outside, and so they meet in the middle and create this adventure.
In the old prologue, one of the characters says, "This is Cinderella, right?" And another character goes, "Not the one you know."
It was very ambitious to create this play as a musical. especially with the Disney melodies familiar to so many. And we have Rodgers and Hammerstein on top of that. How would you describe these songs?
I was asked that question recently, and well, this is my interpretation of it. It's almost like a jazzy kind of Disney music. S. Renee Clark is the composer and musical
She's
director.
Amazing.
She is so smart, and it has classical kind of elements to it, but then there's pop and jazz and rap.
Okay.
And hip-hop, you know,
okay.
Hip-hop elements to it.
So we need to hear a little bit of Cinderella and Fella's answer to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo. And someday my prince will come. Let's hear it.
I'm gonna be nearly 7 feet tall. That's what my doctor says.
Once I saw 11 shooting stars in one night.
Once I had fish food for breakfast. You know, the flakes.
Ew.
Yeah.
Once I made a real mud pie and I served it up.
Did they eat it?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Unreal.
Crazy, terrific.
Stupid, wicked.
How cool. How cool it must be, how cool it must be. This is the coolest, weirdest stuff I've ever heard. You gotta be the hippest, awesomest person.
Okay, this is not your mom's Cinderella. This is certainly not your grandmother's Cinderella. Terry, you play Cinderella's stepmother. Is she as wicked as that original character in the fairy tale?
You know, it was interesting. When I was offered that role, I began to think about the stepmother. And the thing that Rosemary certainly encouraged us to do is to ground the characters in reality. So I had to think about why a woman would become what we would call mean. I mean, the other day I said something to Cinderella and a little kid in the audience yelled out, "Meanie," which
aww.
I love. I loved it, though.
Because you're so mean.
But, you know, even as it is in real life, there's a reason why people are the way they are. You never really know their story, their backstory. And I decided and realized that the stepmother is really very desperate. She loves her children, but she's finding herself in very difficult circumstances. You know, she had that moment in life when everything was wonderful. She could dine out and she was carefree. She didn't have to think about money and taking care of providing for her children. And suddenly Cinderella's father dies and they have nothing. And she has to go from relative to relative begging for money, and what that does to you over the course of years, how hard and bitter it can make some people. And that's what I think happened to her. Mm-hmm. She's not cruel, but she is desperate.
And manipulative.
And she's manipulative, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
My favorite moment of watching Terry, it's a comedic moment, so it's not a scary moment, but Terry is in a tiny house in a dress that's about 4 feet wide. And to watch her trying to get out the door of the tiny house is one of my very favorite moments of the show.
Okay, so we have a little tiny house nation in this
exactly.
21st
I
century.
Love me some tiny house nation. Oh. So I was like, we need that.
Well, anyone familiar with Terry's work knows how she can deliver a song. And I was hoping you could tell us a bit about your musical moments in this production.
Well, there's a song that I do called Get Yours. And that is when they read a royal decree that says the prince has found some shoes and he's going to try the shoe on every girl in the kingdom to find this
every
enchanted.
Every person in the kingdom.
Every uh-huh. person. Have I been saying the...
Well, we just don't say that, but it says that a girl has left her shoe.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Right. So That's true. Every person in the kingdom. And my daughter says, well, what kind of a slipper? And I said, I don't care what kind of slipper it is. You both must do all you can to get your foot in that shoe. And then she's schooling her children about, get yours. Don't worry about anybody else.
We have a clip of your singing, and I was hoping you could set us up for this moment in Khashoggi.
Yes, this is the moment when the Stepp family makes their entrance onto the stage, because they're back in Khashoggi. They know about the boy Begana. Life is going to now change for them. And she's basically saying, talking about her life, you know, how she once it had been wonderful and now it's not that way anymore. But, you know, and her children begin to sing, this is my chance, my opportunity. And she says, I smell luck, that old prosperity.
Never needing life was heavenly.
It was a good life, a very, very big life
for me. Why do I bother every day? My life gets smaller, dimming, shrinking, sinking. Khashoggi, you hold the key.
This is my chance, my golden opportunity.
This is my chance, my royal opportunity.
This is fabulous. In addition to the music, you have puppets. Where do the puppets appear in this story?
Do you know what's so amazing about the Alliance Theater is that they recognize that if they're going to present stories for audiences and for young audiences, they bring the same kind of commitment that they do to Troubadour, to everything that's on the, this is on the main stage. They have the best costume designers. We had a lighting designer from New York. I mean, they commit all of these resources because they recognize the importance of telling, of bringing this audience into the wonder of theater. So that's one. So part of that was we wanted to create animals. We wanted Cinderella's world to have a hoarding squirrel and to have a compassionate porcupine and a wise turtle and an aloof owl. And so they were like, yes, absolutely, we can make that happen. We will have drops and slides. And Courtney Collins, who plays the mother, has a foot and a half of hair. I mean, she has a wig that's straight up blonde. And so it is an incredibly rich and full world.
And
it's amazing.
Kudos to the Alliance
yes.
for that, because how many adults can you interview or talk with who say, I fell in love with theater, I knew I wanted to be an actor as far back as I can remember?
Can I tell you, so we had our first audiences this week, we're in previews, and we're sitting there and there are 800 students and they're losing their minds. And I can remember being one of those students in the Alliance Theater and having that moment. And so it was like this full circle moment, like, what am I doing? Oh my God, I'm here. And it's really cool.
Costumes aren't just for Halloween anymore. We can see little girls dressed as princesses just going grocery shopping with their parents. Is this trend a setback or reaction to feminism? Do you think, have fairy tales become part of culture wars?
Do you want to jump in? You want me to jump in?
You jump in. And
you know, we're going to get little girls dressed up, and we welcome those little girls however they come in the door, because they're going to see a young girl who is really strong and capable and resourceful, and who is a role model. I mean, that was absolutely the hope in creating this, was there would be something to latch onto that you could model after, that mothers would be excited to show their daughters, that little boys would model. Like, there's a line where he says, he's been isolated, the prince has been isolated in the castle, and he says to Cinderella, are you what all girls are like? You know, she knows about lightning and thunder. She knows how to how to find food in the forest. I mean, she's so completely capable. And so I don't think that the walls of that discussion are closed. I think the doors are open, and we can add more stories, and we can expand that world. It's not a fixed world, and so it's our hope to add more voices and tell different kinds of stories.
It's just a moment of fun. And I think that's what fairy tales are all about. There are messages in fairy tales, but in the end, it's a story. It is just a story. You know, I thought about what Cinderella is, because no matter what the stepfamily does or says to her, she always takes it with such good intent and good humor, good grace. She is the embodiment of a giving, generous, loving consciousness. Cinderella really is that ultimate act of goodness.
Indeed, it's a fairy tale, and aspirational stories have an important purpose. Yet how do you impart to kids the lesson that falling in love or infatuation doesn't always mean happily ever after?
Ours is not a love story. Ours is a story about friendship. And it's about when you have a friend, you can do bigger and bolder things than you ever imagined for yourself. So you can climb a high tree. You can travel the country. You can go outside. You'll be allowed to go inside. So there's not the same kind of romantic element. Our Cinderella and Fella are younger. So that's a we're telling a slightly different story there. Their happily ever after is that they finally have a friend who believes in them and allows them to be more courageous than they ever imagined before.
A very happy ending, if you ask me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Terry Burrell, Janice Schaefer, it's a joy. Thank you for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So glad to be here.
Sometimes you got to force it, press it, shove it when there is a need.
Cinderella and Fella is on stage now at the Alliance Theater. The show runs weekends through April 9th. You are listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta.